Shalom Aleichem. We have Sefer Shmos this week, and Sefer Shmos is when Klal Yisrael goes from being individuals. The story is about the great Avos and the children of Yaakov, and now we morph into the Klal, the nation of Israel. And that is the big move that we are making this week, going from the story of individuals to the story of the greatness of Klal Yisrael. All the way at the beginning of this week's parsha, we'll have five Divrei Torah this week, Amir Tzashem, starting with the first pasuk, Ve'ele Shemos B'nei Yisrael Habayim Mitzrayima. These are the names of the children of Yaakov who came to Mitzrayim. Rashi comments as follows, Lahodia Chibasan Shenim Shalula Kochavim. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu naming all the people that came down and giving us all this information? So Rashi says, to show the fondness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael, and in fact, he compares them to the stars in the sky. And the Sfas Emes addresses this question, what is this fondness, what's this limud, what's this lesson that we have, that Klal Yisrael is metaphorically like the stars of the heaven. And he says beautifully as follows, the concept of the stars, when you go out at night, nowadays we have a lot of light in the cities, but if you go out and it's a clear night, or you're not in the city, just look up. And you see not only the beauty of the heaven, but the brightness, the illumination that happens at night because of the stars. And each star is separate and fundamental and has a purpose and a function. So too, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that we are like the Kochavim, that we are like the stars, the same thing applies to Klal Yisrael, that we are out there in the world, throughout the world, and we have a purpose to bring light and illumination to very dark places, just like the stars at night, very dark, they bring the illumination. Each and every Jew has that responsibility and that ability to bring brightness throughout the world, even in the darkest of places. That's the beautiful explanation of the Sfas Emes. We are now moving on to number two. We are in Perek Beis, Pasuk Yudalid, as is known, the story that we have Moshe Rabbeinu growing up in the palace of Paro, and he goes out one day, and initially he sees an Egyptian beating a Jew. Okay, I just changed my mind. Instead of five, we'll have six Divrei Torah. I may have said this one last year, but it's one of my favorite Divrei Torah, so I'll say it nonetheless. So he goes out and sees a Jew being beaten by an Egyptian. And Moshe Rabbeinu, if we can imagine, he grew up in the palace, but he also knows that he's Jewish. And on the one hand, he is an Egyptian prince, but he knows his roots. He knows that. And he sees this Egyptian beating a Jew, and the pasuk tells us, Vayifen kova chova yarki einish. He looked this way and that way, and he saw no one was around. Vayaches amitzri vayibneo b'chol. He beat the Egyptian, he killed the Egyptian, he buried him in the sand. And I heard this word, and you may have heard it last year if you listened. I wonder if I said it last year. I don't even remember. But nonetheless, I had a Rebbe when I was in elementary school. I don't remember who it was. And he said as follows. So many times we grow up with these decisions and difficulties internally as to who we are. And in fact, that is a difficult decision that Moshe Rabbeinu had to make. This is a huge inflection point for him. He comes out and he sees an Egyptian beating a Jew, and he feels his two worlds colliding. On the one side, he's an Egyptian. He's a prince of Egypt, but on the other hand, he identifies with the Jewish people. The pasuk many times says, Echav, he saw one of his brethren being beaten. And the drash goes as follows, Vayifen ko vacho, he turned this way and that way. This is not literally he turned this way and that way, but figuratively, it's internal. And it's an internal turning, and Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, who am I? And he turns this way and he says, I am Egyptian on the one hand. Vayifencho, and he turned the other way and he says, but I'm Jewish. If I'm Egyptian, I'm going to let the Egyptian beat this Jew. But if I'm un-Jewish, I have to do something about it. And he felt that internal conflict. What's my identity? Vayifencho vacho vayarki einish. And he said, if I can't decide who I am, Egyptian or Jew, I am nobody. I'm not a person. And it was right then that Moshe Rabbeinu decided, Vayifencho vacho vayarki einish. And he decided, I'm a Jew, vayachas amitri, and he destroyed the Egyptian part of him, that part of his identity, and he buried that in the sand. And we add on to that that so many times in our lives we have the decisions and these identity conflicts between, are we American or are we Jewish, or are we English or Jewish? Are we American Jew or Jewish American, South African or Israeli? Am I Israeli or am I a Jew? And it always has to be that the Judaism comes before anything else. It has to be that in that identity, when there's a conflict, the Judaism, the Torah, the Halacha, is what's going to dictate who we are and how we act. And now we'll move forward to Vort number 3 right afterward. After that event, Moshe Rabbeinu comes out another day and he sees a Jew beating a Jew. These are Dasan and Aviram, the stereotypical wrongdoers. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, why are you hitting, you Russia, you evil person? Vayomer LaRasha, he turned to the Rasha, Lamatake Reecha, why are you hitting your friend? We're now in Perek Beis, Pasuk Yudalid. And we have a fight between two Jews. How can you hit another Jew? And Vayomer Misam Chale Ish Sarveshafet Aleinu. They turn, he turns, the offender, one of the Dasan Avirim, he turns to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, who made you the boss? Literally, who made you the Sarvesh? Who made you the judge? Who made you the person who's going to decide what's right and what's wrong? And the Avnei Ozel says beautifully, this is the derech of the Dasan and Avirams of the world, the stereotypical wrongdoers, that when they are confronted with what they are doing, when they're doing something evil, wrong, it could be stealing from a company or stealing from an institution they work for or abusing people, whatever it may be, and somebody confronts them, their approach to that individual is, who made you the boss? Who are you to tell me what to do? Mi samcha lesar v'shofet? Who made you the judge to say I'm doing something wrong? But out. Who said it's your business? And in fact, says the Avnei Ozel, when it comes to our milchama against Ra, when it comes to our seeing evil and having to stamp out evil, we have to destroy Ra. It is obligatory. It's incumbent upon each and every individual to do what he can to remove that evil from our midst. In fact, Chazal tells us, when there's no one else acting, we have to act. But indeed, when it comes to stamping out evil, we should all be up to the task. And indeed, even when we are told, Misamcha lesar v'shofet, who made you the boss, we have to stand up for what is right and what is wrong in society. Moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4. We are moving forward to Perek Dalid. And Moshe Rabbeinu fled for his life. Now he was a shepherd. And after seeing, he goes and sees the burning bush, the famous story of the burning bush. The bush is burning, ve'inenu achalin, it's not being consumed. And then he has the conversation, the discussion, or maybe we can call it a negotiation between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, discussing HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, you should go, you got to take out the people, you got to take Klal Yisrael out, you're the messenger, you're going to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I'm not the person for the job. So we're at the beginning of Perek Dalet right now. Vayomer Elav Hashem, Maze Biatcha. We'll go through the Psukim first and then give a nice explanation to them. So Kadosh Baruch Hu has a discussion, and this is based on the Pardes Yosef, and the discussion focuses on what's the approach to leadership. We have Kadosh Baruch Hu trying to convince Moshe Rabbeinu, convincing Moshe Rabbeinu that he's got to go. And what's the right approach to being a leader of Klal Yisro? So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Maze Biatcha, what do you have in your hand? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mata, it's a staff, it's a stick. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu here showing that it's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking and showing these osos, these signs, etc. Vayomer HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ashlicheyu Arza, throw it to the ground. Vayishtacheyu Arza, and Moshe Rabbeinu does so, and he throws the staff on the ground, and it turns to a nachash, and turns into a snake, a serpent, and Moshe Rabbeinu runs away from it. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says afterward, go grab the tail of that snake. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, shlach liatcha, lift out your hand, ve'achoz biznavoko, and attach, go grab on to the tail of that snake. So what's this conversation going here? So the Pardes Yosef says the conversation is what's necessary for a leader of Klal Yisrael. And it's not only the characteristics necessary for Klal Yisrael to be any successful leader, be it of a country, of a state, of a city, of a corporation, of a non-profit. These are what's required, the personality change and the approach to being a leader that's necessary. And it goes as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks Moshe, Moshe, Mazeh Biyadcha, what's in your hand right now? What does that mean? How would you approach being a maning of Klal Yisrael? So what strength? How would you deal with them? How are you going to convince them to do what's necessary? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, what's in my hand? This represents manhigus. This represents leadership. It's a mateh. It's a staff. It's a stick, which represents discipline. It represents strength. It represents enforcement. And that's what's necessary to be a manhig. That's what's necessary to lead a nation. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds back to him that if you're thinking that the proper approach to leadership is to be strict, to be strong, to only focus on discipline, that's not going to work. That's not going to work at all because it's going to turn into a snake. What does that mean? It's going to turn into a snake. It's going to be turned bitter and poisonous. People are not going to accept a leader who's so strict. If you think about North Korea, how unfortunate all those citizens are to have that forced individual ruling them. It's a terrible situation. We can talk about many other countries as well. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if it's going to be just discipline and strength and force, that's going to turn the people against you, and they will eventually rebel. And accordingly, Moshe Rabbeinu goes to the other extreme and says, so you have to be an anav, you have to be modest, you have to be kind, calm, you have to be humble, and that's indeed Moshe Rabbeinu's innate personality. Ha'ish Moshe anav me'ol me'kol adam, ha'shal p'nei adamah. Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble person in the world. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, we'll go to the other extreme. That's what's necessary. It's easier for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, that's his personality. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that is not going to work either. You can't have full discipline on the one hand, but you can't have total anivus on the other hand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shlach yadcha v'chos beznavo. You have to hold on to that staff. You can't let it go fully, but hold it where? Hold it from the tail. Hold it from the tail. You need a little bit rule. You need a little bit discipline. You need a little bit strength. That's necessary as well. And we see this message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe to be a strong ruler. To be a successful ruler, you need both of those personalities. You need both of those character traits. You need to do it with ahava. You need to do it with love and care and modesty. But you also, when necessary, need to rule with a stick. But only when necessary. If we think of President Roosevelt's, FDR's doctrine of speak softly and carry a big stick, you're actively speaking softly. That's your default. Carry the big stick. If it's ever necessary to use, you have it. But ideally, it's going to be the speech that is what is going to be your focus. So that comes way before FDR, Lahavdil. We see that this is a necessary thing. It's necessary character traits, as was discussed by Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch. And in fact, we see when the Torah says, what is a melech, what is a king of Klal Yisrael have to be? The Pasuk says, L'bilti rom levavo me'achav, that he has to be sure to not think of himself as higher, as more arrogant, as greater than other citizens. They're his citizens. They're his subjects. But don't think you're better than him, even though you're the king. But on the other hand, there's a concept of a melech cannot be mochal on his kavod. He can't say, I don't need kavod. He has to be respected as well. Shetehei emaso alechad. He has to have fear, awe of the people on him. So we again see that duality. Don't think you're better. Don't think you're better than your citizens and your subjects, but on the other hand, don't be arrogant to them. Very interesting and very proper approach to successful leadership. We are now moving forward to Vort Dvar Torah number 4 on the same Pasuk. It's actually Perek Dalet, Pasuk Dalet, and it says, Vayishlach Yadov Yachazek Bo, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, lift out and hold the tail of that snake, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu does. Vayishlach Yadov, he lifted out his hand, and he held on to the tail of the snake. And continuing the part of Yosef, he says, what does the snake represent? The snake, that's the name of the Yetzer Hara that tries to seduce us to do evil. That's the Nachash, that's the Yetzer Hara, and its task, its objective, its goal in life, its motivation in life is to get us off track, to have us do evil. And accordingly, we have the message here that we have a Yetzer Hara that will be attacking him. Grab onto it. and take control of that Yetzer Hara. Grab onto that snake, that Yetzer Hara, and control it. Otherwise, it will control you. And even more than that, not only control the Yetzer Hara, but use it for good. Take it and use it for good. We do have taivas. We do have Yetzer Haras, for example, eating. Somebody has a taiva for eating, so eat a lot on Shabbos. Have oneg Shabbos, have oneg Yontif, Simchas Yontif. Somebody wants ice cream all the time. Have an especially big ice cream on Rosh Chodesh when you're having your Rosh Chodesh Seuda. So we should be using our extra energy, our desires, our Yetzer Hara, but use it all for good. Use it all for positive purposes. Somebody has extra energy, usually gets them in trouble. Use it for something that's positive. In fact, says the Pardes Yosef, this is the pasuk in Kriyat Shema. Va'avta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. Chazal point out, why does it say b'chol levavcha with two bases? Bet bet levavcha, and they say that we should love a Kodesh Baruch Hu with both of our yetzers. Our yetzer hara vadai. Certainly, we have to love a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but even the yetzer hara, even with the evil inclinations that we have, we have to turn that into positive energy, positive motivation, positive approaches to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's not only with the yetzer hatov, but also with the yetzer hara, we have to be Avdei Hashem. And in fact, that is what Chazal tell us. Ezehu Gibor, who is somebody who has strength, Hakovish, his Yitzhar, somebody who conquers his Yetzer, talking about his Yetzer Hora, that we're going to have to conquer our Yetzer Hora and use it for positive purposes, just like our message in our Pasuk is telling us, Vayishlach Yadav Yachazekbo, lift out your hand and hold on to that snake. Hold on and use it for a positive purpose. I think this was actually the Dvar Torah number 5 because I added the one back then. So I lost track of the numbering. So that was actually number 5. And now we're moving on to our last Dvar Torah, number 6. That goes as follows. As we know that the enslavement of Klal Yisrael, and it started with light labor, and then it went to heavy labor. And then when Moshe Rabbeinu started getting involved and saying that we want to take a break, go on a holiday for 3 days, worship our God, then the punishments increased. And the punishment, we're now in Perek Hey, Pasuk Zayin, Lo Tosifun, Latet Tevin. The punishment now is, they have plenty of time on their hands, they want to go on holiday, so don't give them any more of the raw materials necessary to make the bricks, but keep the quota the same. So stop giving them the straw. Straw is the key ingredient in making the bricks. They're going to have to find it themselves. But make sure that the daily quota of bricks that they make will continue. There's going to be no slacking off. And then the Rebbe from Alexander asks the classic question. He says, if Paro has this plan that he wants to work them harder, he wants to show them that you have free time, I'm going to show you what free time is. So why didn't he make them double the amount of the bricks that they'll make? But at the same time, continue giving them the supplies, giving them the ingredients, the materials that were necessary. So give them the straw, but make them work harder by doing something productive, by making more bricks and making more buildings and being more productive in general. And the Rebbe from Alexander says that the true ruts on the true desire of Karo was to break them, to make them miserable. And he knew that when you cause somebody to be nervous and panic, and you break their spirit. Why would they be nervous? Because how are we going to ever find straw? And break their spirit by making them be unproductive in that time, running around trying to find straw. He says that was his true desire. He wanted to make them so bitter that he wanted to take away their desire to live. And that was his goal. And we see here that Paro, he hated the Jews more than he loved himself, because he just wanted to attack and cause damage and hurt their mental health more than would benefit him. It would benefit him if he went the other way and he gave them the ingredients and doubled their quotas of what they would have to do. But instead of that, he took away the raw ingredients, the materials, and kept the quota the same. So he hated the Jews and wanted to destroy the Jews more than he loved himself. And we saw the same thing when it came to Hitler, Yimach Shemo, when he was losing the war. When he was losing World War II, he increased the destruction of Klal Yisrael, even though that was to his detriment. Rather than focusing on the war, he focused on the destruction of Klal Yisrael. And I think it was Abba Ibn who said the line, when will we have peace with the Arabs when they stop hating us more than they love their children. And unfortunately, not all Arabs, but certainly some of the Arabs, they hate us more than they love their children. They hate us more and want to cause the destruction of Klal Yisrael, more than they want to have positive involvement in life, to have effective and productive lives. And unfortunately, that is not the situation with certain of our cousins in the Middle East. Certain ones have, Baruch Hashem, come around. So the important message that we learn from this is it's obviously critical to feel satisfied and be productive in life. We have to feel that we are progressing, because if we feel that we're not progressing and accomplishing, that indeed is a very destructive thing. So each of us should have the bracha to really be productive and be a b'nei aliyah, that we should be progressing in life, in our ruchnias and also in our gashmias, and that should be a focus of ours week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.